It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome back. Hour number two of our program, and we talked a lot of football in hour number one, a little bit of basketball, and we will do more of the same here in hour number two. Coming up a little later, some more comments from Davion Mintz. And but before we do that, we will talk to one of our guys that we love having on. He always has something to say, and that would be, do we have John on line one? That is Mr. John Wong on our celebrity hotline. How are you, young man?
Young man, you talking to me, Dick?
Talking
to
you, brother.
Year, you and I, we are going to be the oldest guys in the press box. What are you talking about?
I won't even be in the press box. I'll be down on the field. You're going to have to hold that down on your own. I think Larry Vaught might have us by a year. I'm not sure about your. I know he's got me by about. I think he's got me by a year in terms of covering the beat. But
all right,
you're as old as you feel, John, and you're full of vinegar.
Well, chronological age, we're definitely in the top five.
No question about that. Just keep showing up until somebody locks the door on us. Your comment, your reaction when you saw that the transfer portal had resulted in another potentially really strong player for the Wild. I've heard him called Dare. I'm pretty sure it's Dare Rosenthal. I hope it's Dare because that's a great name for a 6'7", 330-pound D lineman, or O lineman, rather. But what do you think of the way Kentucky has played the portal?
Well, I think they're turning into Portal U. I think it speaks volumes about the culture that Coach Mark Stoops has built here. He prides himself on having done this thing brick by brick,
yep,
rolling up your sleeves, getting to work. And I think it's showing Kentucky is proving to be a destination school for other athletes from elite programs who are looking to improve himself. Now, I think Rosenthal, he comes with a little bit of baggage with him, so I think that's something we'll have to watch. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure when he gets here, he'll realize that Stoops has pretty much a no-tolerance policy, mm-hmm, in terms of goofing off the field. So I think he'll be fine. It's his last chance. I think he's going to make a go of it.
Billy and I talked about the fact that Kelvin Joseph coincidentally came from LSU, a little bit of baggage there. But up until he stopped playing prior to the last game of the year, according to Stoops, he was, you know, I don't know if he was a model citizen, but he was a solid worker and, you know, and a good teammate. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, and you notice that Stoops, even afterwards, he didn't throw Joseph under the bus at all.
Yeah.
He, in fact, has complimented him about how hard he worked during that time. And I think that's just the expectations. Players coming in will know the expectations that Stoops has for them. And then consequently, they're going to make sure their nose to the grindstone, business as usual.
Well, speaking of expectations, with every day, every week, the closer we get, they are building. And it is. I don't like to talk about winnable games. I just like to talk about manageable schedules, and this looks like, with especially a shot at revenge against Missouri, a manageable schedule. What do you see?
Absolutely. I mean, you're looking at what, four of the first five are at home.
Yeah.
If they can get off with wins that they're supposed to at the beginning, they can build up a little bit of momentum so that, you know, the first part of their schedule is very manageable. The last part of their schedule is very manageable. It's just those three games in between that can turn the tide as to whether this is a super successful season or whether just a meh season.
Yeah.
John, as someone that spent a lot of time in the press box in the weird 2020 COVID year, and Dick, I'm sure you can chime in on this question as well, but, you know, that atmosphere will probably never be replicated again. When will we go through another global pandemic? Was it like a ghost town for you, John? I think we're all looking forward to the fans coming back, but in that strange one season, could you feel an impact with the fans not being there?
Absolutely. I mean, it, like you said, it was a ghost town up there. Plus, they didn't have any food for you to eat. Everything was box lunches. So that was a big disappointment. But it is funny that you asked that, because I want to just kind of erase it from my mind. I can say that I've been a fan of both UK basketball, UK football for half a century. Boy, that sounds way too long. I'm going to couch it like Calipari couches it. It's dog years. I've been a fan for eight dog years. That doesn't sound quite as daunting. But I can say that probably this is the most excited I've been collectively for both UK football and UK basketball. There have been years where I've been more excited about the football team. There have been years where I've been more excited about the basketball team individually. But together, I think this is as exciting as it's been. And I think it's due to this COVID year that we've all been through. Big Blue Nation, they're chomping at the bit to fill Commonwealth Stadium, to fill Rupp Arena. That, together with the fact that I think we can all agree that both the football and the basketball team had less than stellar seasons. The football team kind of recovered with their bowl game a little bit. Basketball team, abject disaster, 9 wins. That's never going to happen again. Pandemic happens once every 100 years. That's probably going to happen once every 200 years. So, yes, it's going to make a huge difference, and I can't wait. We're counting down the days, 60 days, less than 60 days now till kickoff.
Did you make the Missouri trip last year, football?
I did. I was the only one from the UK press, other than you guys. Were you guys even there?
Oh, yeah. No, you guys we traveled. Yeah, I asked because that was a rarity in the Stoops era. They've lost games they weren't supposed to lose, games in which they were either favored or you thought they were going to win. That game, I think you'll agree, John, just from opening kick, there was just the stadium, there was nothing to it. It was just no sizzle, nothing much good happened. They couldn't get off the field on defense. That was one of the worst experiences. You know, I got to go back to the 06, was it 06 or 07? When 06, of course, when they lose at LSU 49-0, and Rich Brooks thought he was going to be fired. And so now they've got a chance to set that right with the first conference game of the year. So a lot of things could break right for this team.
And if you remember, Dick, that Missouri game was the first game that Coach Schlarman didn't make the trip
with
the team.
You're right.
And so we were getting signals that, hey, things aren't going real, real well. So I remember when Susan Lax made that announcement early on to me in the press box. It was just overall very extremely, extremely deflating.
Yeah.
And that kind of scares me, though, Dick, because, you know, every year Kentucky football, no matter how good or bad they are, they're going to pull one stinker. Now, that was Missouri. The year before, I think it was Tennessee. So you can count all you want the wins and losses. Unfortunately, I think you're probably going to have to throw one more loss in there just because that's Kentucky football. That's what we do.
John, if we were power ranking SEC East programs, specifically football, do you think Kentucky is now past Tennessee?
It's hard to say. A lot of it is going to be consistency. I'd like to say yes. The fan part of me said yes. But on the other hand, I have followed Kentucky football long enough to realize that unless you beat Georgia, you're not going to end up being in that top echelon. So past Tennessee, probably so. I'll give you that. SEC East champs, I think they're still a little bit away from that.
Yeah.
And plus, this year, I mean, I know a lot of the excitement is about the offense because of the uncertainty involved with that. But if you're honest with yourself, I mean, Liam Coleman, he's been touted as this wunderkind that's coming in and going to bring this Los Angeles Rams offense onto the University of Kentucky. But really, when you think about it, I mean, the guy's 35 years old. You know, how much experience can he have had? I'm not throwing darts at him just yet. I'm just saying, just be careful. Let's take it slow. Let's see how it goes. I mean, the guy was what? He was offensive coordinator at the University of Maine, and then granted, he's got all this NFL experience, but as a quarterback, not even as a quarterback coach, as an assistant quarterback coach. So let's see what he has. Let's kind of reserve judgment I'm not going rah-rah as I usually do this year just yet.
You do. He does have, you know, double-digit years as a coach. But, yeah, to your point. But here's the thing that you know, I do like, John, and you're right about it. I agree with everything you said. But he has been an OC. He has made decisions in the heat of battle. That's what I look for at the college level. You know, and again, not the SEC level, but I don't care about that. I want to know, you know, when the clock's ticking, when it's winding down, and he's got that play sheet in front of him, you know, has he done it in the heat? And he has. But, yeah, I want to see what he can do, as you said. And not only that, he doesn't even know who his starting quarterback's going to be. He might think he knows. But that's, you know, that's a heck of
that.
A challenge.
He's got a
yeah.
huge decision.
Yeah. Yeah, the biggest decision of his young career, Kentucky's coming out. Although Stoops is going to have to sign off on that. Do you have any thoughts on how you think that might play out?
Everything that I've heard, it looks like that Will Levis is in the lead. He is sort of handpicked by Cohen. Evidently, the guy has the smarts. He's got the talent. He's got the wherewithal to handle a pro-style offense. So I think that kind of gives him a little bit of a jump ahead of the other guys. But, you know, well, let's wait and see. I'm not ready to crown him just yet, but from all the reports that I've heard, he's going to end up being the starter this year.
John, is it true if I brush my teeth really hard the night before and the morning of my dentist appointment that it will take away the 6 months of no brushing and flossing that I didn't do?
This is Kentucky. Do we even know what toothbrushes
are? Oh, come on now. I know
no,
you've
Billy,
retired
I
from that.
You,
but...
if you brush your teeth for the projected 2 minutes that all dentists recommend, then that's going to guarantee at least 4 victories for Kentucky football this year. I can promise you that.
Oh, John thought he left his career in dentistry behind him when he joined the ranks of the fourth estate. But just a couple minutes left with John Wong. Let me shift you real quickly to basketball, John, and the fact that Kentucky's waiting to hear from possibly one more big guy. But let's say Calipari doesn't land either one, that Dern goes pro and Kofi goes back to Illinois. Still, though, we've talked about expectations for football, and they get bigger and bigger every day within the Big Blue Nation. It's going to happen with basketball, isn't it? Right now people are cautiously optimistic after last season. But, John, you know that when fall rolls around, they're going to be talking Final Four.
Yeah, I experience it myself. It depends on what day of the week.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wake up and I'm ready to go. Let's do this. 9 wins last year. That doesn't matter. Let's wash that away from memory bank. Other times I wake up and say, I don't know. You know, fool me once, shame
right.
on you. Fool me twice, shame
right.
on me. So you got to kind of take it easy. But one thing that does concern me is that even though there's a plethora of bodies and talent out there, it's not the elite NBA first-round talent that Calipari has been used to. So a lot of it is going to be dependent on how these players come together. You know, what's the chemistry going to like? What's the rotation going to be like? Is there going to be a platoon? Can I even say that? I know that's a custom.
That's a dirty word.
It. Platoon, platoon, platoon.
Dirty word.
Am I still on the air?
Dirty word. We had to use the dump. We had to use the dump button on you. But
there's
you know what?
Wrong with the platoon,
John.
Dick, you know that.
I said it last night. I said it last night. They had they were making basketball history with a platoon, and everybody talks
about
it. Yeah,
they won 38 games.
Thank
for
you.
Them.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that he has to use it for 40 minutes a game, but
right.
it is a good way. I mean, when you think about how demoralizing it was, when you see 5 guys with their tongues hanging out, grabbing for their shorts, TV timeouts
yeah.
afterwards, then all of a sudden you see these fresh goggles
yep.
of 5 fresh bodies come
yep.
out. It's really like tanks coming over the hill.
That's
platoon,
true.
Platoon! Platoon!
All I'm saying is the possible finals MVP this year never scored more than 20 points in a game.
How about that?
Due to that platoon system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you read the rest of Devin Booker's comments?
Yes, I did.
About sacrifice.
Yes.
That was very mature.
For the greater good.
That was a very mature approach, I thought.
Yeah, speaking of Devin Booker, I mean, how many times are we going to hear Calipari reference him this year?
Oh,
yeah, here was a guy that I didn't even start that came off the bench, and look, now he's Finals MVP.
Yeah, but you know, he was 18 back then. Now he should have been in for at least one possession late against Wisconsin. We'll talk about that forever. But how about him getting all the love right now? And Frank Kaminsky, who helped break his heart, is buried on the bench for Phoenix. But they're teammates, and they'll probably share rings. So you know, it's all good. John, I will leave you with this. Technically, the decade now has begun, 2021. So when I cover a game, however I cover it this year, this will be my sixth decade covering, going back to the 70s, Kentucky football. So we overlapped at school, didn't know each other. You were busy building a dental empire, but we've seen a lot of football, both good and bad.
Yeah, for those who aren't familiar with it, that's 9 dog years.
That's right.
That's not too long.
John, looking forward to seeing you again, not just on a Zoom call and maybe at another news conference. Thanks for joining us tonight.
My pleasure, Dick. See you later, Billy. Thanks a lot.
Have a good one.
See you,
that's John Wong, Wong's Winings, H-U-A-N-G-S Winings. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already. And we're back in a minute. Tom Brady had an answer for the Stanley Cup. We'll hear about that when we come back on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats. 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to John Wong. All his resume should also include the editor of the justthecats.com website. We were talking earlier about the Stanley Cup and Billy's beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. He's not as crazy about them as he is the Bucks. You're more Bucks than Rays. Am I correct about
yes.
that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lightning, right?
Correct.
But I am not a Tom Brady hater, by all means. I mentioned that earlier. But I think he's funny. And I love the fact that the Stanley Cup itself tweeted at Tom Brady. You might recall that last year, really just a few months ago, that Tom Brady tossed the Lombardi Trophy during the boat parade from one boat to another. Rob Gronkowski made the catch. So last night, after the Stanley Cup went back to Tampa Bay for the second year in a row, the Stanley Cup tweeted at Tom Brady. It said, FYI, I'm too heavy to throw at Tom Brady. Brady responded with IDK. I don't know, he tweeted. Everything feels a little bit lighter after some tequila. Now you gotta like, even if you don't drink, which he does, you gotta like a sense of humor like that.
Yeah, come on. You're telling me nobody's thrown the Stanley Cup trophy?
Stanley Cup trophy has been at the bottom of Lake Michigan.
Right. I mean,
it's been everywhere.
There's been so many fun stories.
What would
about
you
that.
Do? If you had a chance at a moment with the Stanley Cup, what would you do?
You mean when I had a chance with the Stanley Cup?
Did you actually have your hands
on
it?
I have a picture of me and my dad holding the Stanley Cup when I was 5, 6 years old.
Yeah, but now, see, now you're woke. You know, now you're, you know. So what would you do now as a GA man?
I mean, probably drink something out of the top of it. I think that would be a must.
Yeah.
You know, probably check it in to the airport, probably travel with me the whole time. You know, I would much rather have the Green Masters jacket for a year. You know, where you've seen...
Yeah, but they don't have a sense of humor down there.
You've seen Bubba Watson walk around with it.
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, anything fun that you did with that jacket, people would jump you.
Oh,
he's disrespecting the Green Jacket. You can have fun. You could drink champagne. That's been done 100 times out of the Stanley Cup. I would eat clam chowder out of the Stanley Cup. I'd fill it up with clam chowder.
Why clam chowder?
Why not? You know, first I'm going to say a bowl of cereal. No. You know what I'd do? Depends on who won. Like if Boston won it, I'd eat Manhattan or New England clam chowder. If the Rangers won, I'd eat Manhattan clam chowder. What should I eat in Tampa?
Snow crab, probably.
Yeah, there you
or
go.
Some seafood.
Okay, yeah, or she crab soup, something. Yeah. Oh man, I love.
You know,
crab.
Tom Brady talked about that toss of the Lombardi Trophy. Right. He said it's really sharp on the bottom.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He was real worried about the guys trying to come down with
Gronk,
that thing.
Gronk saved him.
He did.
Gronk made the grab. And you know that water they were on. I mean, I'm a diver, scuba diver. I would hate to get in that water. I'd have to have a full suit.
You've seen 10 guys jump in after that.
Oh, you would.
Thing.
You would. I would have paid to see that. More Davion Mintz is coming up.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. Apparently, the game involving Reed Sheppard is over, at least his first game down in Birmingham at the Adidas event. And Kyle Tucker has tweeted that Sheppard did not realize Calipari and the entire UK staff were there to watch his game. And according to Kyle, Reed was pretty enthused, quote unquote, to learn that that was the case. So, and again, shameless plug, The Athletic, just a terrific website if you want to follow Kentucky, Louisville, the Bengals, whatever. They've got it all, so check it out. And it's not that expensive. Ben Roberts down there as well for Kentucky.com and the Herald Leader. And Ben does yeoman's work when it comes to recruiting. I mean, if you follow Kentucky recruiting, he is a must follow for you as well. Speaking of Kentucky basketball, not a great time for Emmanuel Quickley. This is really sad. He was chosen to the U.S. Select team along with P.J. Washington. And both he and P.J. and Miles Bridges apparently have tested positive for COVID. The team did not announce this, but ESPN was able to figure out or find out who. Now, I don't know, could it be a false positive? Because we know that P.J., I'm pretty sure, rather Emmanuel, and I believe PJ were both vaccinated. And in fact, IQ was part of the PSA the Knicks put out, showed video of him getting vaccinated to encourage other people to do that. I don't know maybe it's a false positive. Maybe it's the variant, which is scary. You still got a lot of people out there not getting vaccinated. And a U.S. Olympic swim team member, Mark Andrews, worked his tail off, but has refused to get vaccine. He's out. He's not going to the Olympics. And neither are fans, we know now.
And you may hear this and may question why you should get your vaccine if people are getting COVID even with the vaccine. Well, if you look at NC State, that started with non-vaccinated players, right? Vaccinated players got the virus because the non-vaccinated players subjected them to it.
Yep.
So it's about protecting others.
Thank you.
Even while getting the vaccine.
I read where every person in the month of June in the state of Maryland who tested positive for COVID was unvaccinated. So, it's your choice, no question, but you're putting others at risk. No question about that either. By the way, doubling back just real quickly to the Stanley Cup, if you haven't seen this yet, you got to check it out, even if you're not a hockey fan, just for the entertainment value. Nikita Kucherov, one of the winning players, shows up at the post-game press conference with a light beer in his hand. I don't know how many he'd had. No shirt. He was not. I read that he was not a regular during the regular season, but he led everybody with 32 points during the playoffs. And gave the most entertaining post-game news conference that I've ever seen. I mean, he ripped on, made fun of the Montreal fans who went nuts.
Yes.
As you mentioned earlier.
Thank you.
After they won the one game after they were down 3, he said, "You think they won the Stanley Cup?" Oh, he just let him. It was so funny.
I'll have to go back and see that. I have not seen that, but he was huge. Like you said, leading all players in points for the playoffs for the Lightning. When he was not on the ice, they were a different team.
Yeah.
Just kind of one of those guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff.
Let's go to Jeff on line one. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I've got two questions for you, but an observation first. I'm a football nerd, so I follow football recruiting.
Good.
And so there's this kid from Cincinnati Moeller, where Brandon Bates came from, Carrington Valentine. His name is Brandon White. And I watch a lot of high school huddle film. He reminds me so much of Craig East.
Really?
And he was hurt the whole entire his junior year, he was hurt. He had a groin injury, and he really didn't play much. But if you go watch his film, he reminds me so much of Craig East.
Hmm.
It's amazing. That's something. His name's Brandon White. Go check it out.
Cincinnati Moeller?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and he came to camp here a couple weeks ago, and he got a scholarship offer from Coach Merrill while he was there.
Ah, okay.
So it's pretty interesting,
okay.
And especially if you go watch his film. He's something else.
Okay.
But with the LSU transfer, I wanted to ask you, how do you think they shuffle the offensive line to accommodate him? And then we've talked about the quarterback and all that stuff all the time, but if you have to pick one victory over Florida or LSU, I think LSU maybe has the better talented roster. So if you had to pick a win over LSU or Florida, which one would it be?
I would pick Florida just because that puts you in line. If you can beat Florida, take care of business in the East, you can challenge Georgia to get to the SEC title game, right?
Sure.
And clearly that's what you want, but it's and I do think Florida, I think LSU's wounded, don't you think? I think LSU is still trying to figure things out post-championship under Orgeron. He's already feeling the heat. So I think Florida's going to be a stiffer challenge. But I think if you can handle Florida, you've got a shot. As for your question, does he rotate the new kid with Flax? And I don't think you move Kennard from the left side. Maybe you put this kid on the right. Maybe you move Flax inside. I don't know. But then you got Jagger Burton there. You got Austin Dotson. It's a good problem to have.
Sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're going to check out. We're going to check out Brandon White.
Yeah, do that for sure.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it, Jeff. And you can do that these days online with Huddle or just YouTube. But for someone to invoke the name Craig East, that has me really, really curious.
I looked him up, Dick. He's 5'9", 165.
Yeah.
So that's concerning.
You know, Craig East wasn't the biggest guy, but he's...
Devontae Smith just won the Heisman with very small measurables.
Exactly.
But, I mean, I'm 5'9". I'm 5'10".
How fast?
Not fast
How
enough,
fast
Dick.
Can you run away from an SEC? All you got to do is be able to run away from him.
You know, the three-cone drill, I could do pretty well. I don't know about the Oklahoma
Craig
drill.
East was not, and you know, he's high school, man. They're going to feed him, and he's going to hit the weight wherever he goes. But you're relatively new still to the UK football beat. Get into that record book. You'll see the name Craig East all over it. Of course, he had a guy named Tim Couch throwing a ball to him. But Tim Couch will tell you that he owes some of his success to a guy named Craig East. And by the way, Tim will be with us next week. Newly minted high school Hall of Famer. All right, we've heard a little bit from Davion Mintz early, if you are just joining us. He talked to the media earlier today, and one of the questions put to him was about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of guards coming back to UK, and that's okay with him.
Going into my process, I didn't judge it too much. I knew that we needed the roster additions that, you know, the coaches made this year. So, you know, that was a part of our team where we kind of struggled last year. So I knew that we had to make some additions in our backcourt. So, you know, that didn't surprise me at all. Like I was telling Jerry, this process for me this summer was just solely about me just finding understanding and the route that I wanted to take. So I had great communication with the coaching staff and knew beforehand that, you know, this is, you know, what was going to go on. But
it's really curious to me how Calipari is going to juggle. This reminds me of the documentary we did on the 96 team that was, we all knew it was going to be great, and it was, and underappreciated when they talk about the great NCAA championship teams. You can stack that team up against anybody. The best team ever, in my opinion, was the 68 UCLA. But you'll never see another team like that. It was full of veterans and the greatest college player ever, Lew Alcindor. But that Kentucky team was a matchup nightmare for everybody. And the biggest question facing Rick Pitino was, or really according to the players, was how's he going to do this? Every one of them said that. We were, you know, how's he going to do this? Who's going to play where and when and how many minutes? And Antoine Walker played the most minutes per game for that team. You know what he averaged? 28.
Ooh.
Only 28.
Wow.
You would have thought he'd been up in the mid-30s, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. 28 minutes.
Now,
they went, speaking of hockey, they played defense so hard, they sub like they were hockey shifts. Pitino would say, go out there, play defense, go like hell. When you're tired, we'll come get you. And they did, and it worked. Of course, they had superior athletes. This team, they've got great athletes, but, you know. Now, getting Mintz back, were you going to say something?
I was, but I got to take this call.
Davion Mintz had the opportunity, obviously, like a lot of guys, to go overseas and chose not to. And he talked about his decision to maybe put off going overseas.
We don't want to rush or elect to go overseas if I don't have to. And for me, my goal was, you know, try to find an organization that could use my skill set immediately or help foster me in or, you know, come back to Kentucky. So it was very simple. We didn't use the third option. So that's kind of where we were.
Back to the phones we go. Wendell is on line two. What's up, Wendell?
On a day when we get a huge football player come to Kentucky and talking about kids coming to play for Kentucky basketball this year, you bring up 1996. And I was just thinking about, I remember going into that season in 96 being like, and they're going to blow it again. Very disappointed in the few years before. You know, yeah. We came off the Mashburn 93 team where, mm-hmm. you know, they should have won that year, but mm-hmm. Dale Brown gets hurt and
That's
they
right.
get beat by the Fab Five. And
exactly.
94 had Anthony Dent get hurt or Rodney mm-hmm. Dent get hurt. And, you know, they were one of the top teams and ended up getting beat in the round of 32. 95, they had it won against
yes.
North Carolina. They were the best team
yes.
until a terrible human being goes off and starts fighting with Andre Riddick. They were the best team that year. And I just mm-hmm. remember being so disappointed in 95 when that team with Roderick Rhodes and all those great players, mm-hmm. they should have won it that year.
Yep.
And in 96, going in, Mark Pope's supposed to be the star player in the middle, along with Walter McCarty, who'd been kind of disappointing, and just thinking, they'll be all right. And, you know, truth be known, Marcus Candy was the best player in the country
yes.
that year, and they laid it to Kentucky in the opening game.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think they'd win it. I just remember being disappointed going into the 96 or 95-96 season, not expecting Kentucky to win. And now they're considered one of the best players in the history of college basketball.
Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they had shooting. They had players down low. They were a great team. But going into that season, they lost Roderick Rhodes, their best player, and
right.
it was kind of addition by subtraction. It was, you know. But I will say, I didn't have very high expectations for them going in.
I think Kentucky fans, had, like you had, Wendell, had braced themselves for disappointment. And when you think about how long it had been 18 years since they won the title. And so much had happened, and they came close in Seattle, you know, and had opportunities. But, yes, I couldn't blame you for being bracing yourself.
But they had the best team in 93. They had the best team in 94 when Rodney Dent got hurt. Rodney Dent would have been a spectacular NBA player if he hadn't got hurt. And that was before ACL injuries were a thing and you could recover from those real easy. And 95, they had the best team. There's a string of years you could have argued that Kentucky had the best team
yeah.
6 or 7 years in a row.
I was not as high on Dent as you, but he was precisely what they needed in the middle. There's no question about that. And, yeah, when he got hurt, you know, they became a long shot.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, Wendell. But getting back to Davion Mintz, one of the puzzle pieces for the Wildcats, he talked about coming back to play in Lexington to get that experience, you know, to play in Rupp Arena before crowds, something that nobody got to experience last year until, I guess, late in the NCAA tournament, and also to, you know, show the NBA scouts what he can do.
You know, not having that experience, that I think that took a huge toll on everyone in the country. But, you know, having a fan base like UK, I mean, that can change a lot of things. Having that group of support behind you for one more year, I think that took in it. That took a huge part in the decision. But also proving to the NBA scouts that I understand that, you know, I'm a late bloomer. I understand that my game is only so, you know, just proving that one more time and proving I can go out as a winner, that I feel like that's a great opportunity.
You got to love everything about that soundbite, don't you? I mean, the fact that he wants to come back, and clearly he didn't hear what he needed here, but he wants to come back for the right reasons. You know, he wants to come back and have that college experience that, again, nobody had last year until the teams got to the Final Four.
I think he just wants to hear Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
Like the way that it would have been
yeah.
after he hit 5 threes in a row. I mean, yeah. That place would have been unbelievable.
You can't blame him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't blame him. You know, why do you choose Kentucky? Well, you choose Kentucky because you want to get to the NBA. Okay. Well, now he's got a better chance, another chance, but also to win a lot of games, put yourself in a position to play for a contender and experience some of the greatest atmosphere in all of college basketball. He didn't get any of that last year.
Now, let me challenge you on one thing real quick here. You mentioned that the old John Wooden UCLA team, there'll never be teams like that again because there's just no veterans anymore.
Right.
Do you think with name, image, and likeness and the possibility of juniors and seniors transferring without penalty that there could be teams like that again? There could be four-year players because there are so many advantages to staying in college?
I think there's a chance that you'll see better veterans stay a little bit more. But no, I mean, Lou Alcindor stayed, you know, people just didn't leave early back then unless they had what was called a hardship case, literally. And those of you who have been around for a few years, and might follow this, you know, that if you declared, quote unquote, declared hardship, you had to prove your case. In other words, for instance, Tom Payne, first African-American player at Kentucky. He played one season of varsity ball, all conference, had a great year, and went, quote unquote, went hardship. He was married with a child. So, you know, that was a big part of that.
Mm.
I've got to get a job and support my family. And that was, you know, so, you know, and Alcindor, I mean, that was never even brought up.
Well, now he could not have to get a job because he can make money off his own
right.
name.
But a guy that good. You know, the guys who are going to make your team a super team, they're going to get so much more by going to the NBA.
Right.
But to your point, you may see, I'd be very curious to see how that shakes out, that you won't have guys rushing maybe to the G League. That's where I think it's going to matter. More about saying no thank you to the G League or to Europe or China or whatever, even though you can make a ton of money over there now.
That would translate to a lot more four-year players then, right? Like, essentially the average guys.
It might. But not like, you know.
Not the superstars that
shouldn't
be staying.
No, not the Mike Warrens and, you know, the Lynn Shackelfords and the Lou Alcindors and people like that, or Bill Walton.
Hey, well, the four-year player is not dead yet.
No. There will
Hanging
be four-year players, but will they be first-round draft picks after their fourth year? No. No. I hope so. That would be very cool, but no. Let's see. Yeah, one more comment from Davion Mintz. He talked about coming back to be part now. Last year, they were so inexperienced. Now, completely the opposite.
I think it's very unique. You know, it kind of reminds me of a team my freshman season when I, you know, first went into college. We had a lot of upperclassmen. Not to this degree where you have guys coming in from a lot of places, but I think that experience factor is going to be huge, and it's going to payoff for this team. It was extremely, you know, different than last year, like you said, where we had a lot of new guys coming in. Although these are new guys, these are guys that have seen different things throughout their time and played at, you know, high levels already. So I think that it'll be extremely fun. I think it'll be extremely competitive. And I think it's just going to be a good culture to be a part of, you know, as we try to, you know, go down that road and win a lot of games.
Back to wrap things up on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
That's going to do it. Time only to say thank you to our guest tonight, John Wong, Cash Daniel. If you missed our interview with him, just check out BigBlueInsider.com. Talked a lot of football with Cash. Tomorrow night, Jeff Van Note's going to join us, former Wildcat broadcaster and 18-year NFL veteran. So that's going to be fun. He is studying up on the Wildcats from his home down in Atlanta. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. You need to talk some football with Note. You'll learn something, Billy. Trust me on that.
Oh, looking forward to it.
You will definitely learn something. That's going to do it. Stay cool. Be safe. For Billy, that's it. Good night from the studio in Lexington.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.